Arts Club's Bill Millard. He's been the artistic managing director of the Arts Club Theatre Company since 1972. He's a member of the Order of Canada and a recipient of countless awards and accolades, and the director of the Arts Club's latest, a production of the musical Miss Saigon. By Claude-Michel Schoenberg and Alain Boublil and Richard Mulby Jr., Miss Saigon tells the story of an American soldier played in this production by Jonathan Winsby, who has an affair with a Vietnamese girl named Kim, played by Nina Lazo. The backdrop to all of this is the end of the war in Vietnam, and along for the saga is Spirit of the West's John Mann, who stars as the engineer. Miss Saigon begins in previews this Thursday, the 19th of May, and will run until July 10th at the newly minted Stanley Industrial Alliance stage. Tickets are $46 to $59, with discounts for students and seniors, and available from Ticketmaster 604-280-3311 or at the Arts Club's box office 604-687-1644. Their website is artsclub.com. Please welcome once again to the commentary.ca Bill Millard. Good morning, Mr. Millard.
Good morning.
First of all, talk to me. Hasn't the run been extended for Miss Saigon?
Yes, there's just been tremendous response to the show, and we haven't even started previewing, as you mentioned, and it has been extended 1 week to July 17th.
Did you think that's indicative of Vancouverites' tastes, that musicals seem to do well in the city?
I think it certainly does reflect that, and also Miss Saigon is one of the newer musicals to become available for companies like the Arts Club to actually do productions. A lot of these musicals that run a long time in New York and London, of course, and then tour, are never available for, for what we call a stock productions or productions produced right here. And Miss Saigon is one of those that have become available, and I think that is creating the excitement. But I also think it is reflective of the timeless theme of Miss Saigon. You know, the fact that it takes place in 1975 at the end of the Vietnam War, which is, you know, still pretty well known to people. I mean, the 30-year anniversary was just held the other day of the fall of Saigon, and that's what the musical is centered on. And also it's based on Madame Butterfly, the story, of course, of two cultures and the difficulties of that situation.
And the Vietnam War played prominently in the last American presidential election 30 years after the fact, right?
Exactly. It's something, certainly in the United States, that's, you know, top of mind. And I think Canadians as well. We had a lot of draft dodgers come up to Canada. I mean, you know, it's not something foreign to us.
What about, talk to me about the message of the setting of the Vietnam War, at least. There's a lot of, I haven't seen the Star Wars thing yet, but there are rumors that there's some bush bashing in that. Are there any parallels to the story that you're directing to the political climate in the United States and the world today? I mean, the setting of Vietnam seems awfully reminiscent of Iraq, does it not?
Well, I suppose there is a parallel in that it's about a war and in a sense about an unpopular war. But really, I think the strength of Miss Saigon is that the story is told through the eyes of the two leads, Chris and Kim, as you mentioned, played by Jonathan Winsby and Nena Lazo. I mean, it is their love and their coming together and then the tragic circumstances that follow this meeting of the two of them that really is the center of the story. We also jump ahead 3 years to 1978, and that's where the engineer, I think, becomes a crucial part of it. The engineer is a part, he's called a half-breed. He exists in Vietnamese society. He was somebody who, as a Vietnamese, took advantage of the Americans situated in Saigon. He's an operator. He's a club owner. He's a sleaze artist, I suppose. And it's really this trio and how they interact that is the core of the story. I wouldn't say there's really any other parallels with the Iraq War, but perhaps somebody someday will write a musical based on that war, or at least use that war as the setting. And I think really it's the Vietnam War as the setting for the story.
I'm only 23, so I didn't grow up in that era, but I guess the Vietnam War for that generation is quite vivid and quite powerful, is it not?
Certainly the reaction to the war and the fact that the war was very eventually became very, very unpopular because, of course, a lot of Americans were dying and it seemed just a frustrating experience. And maybe in that way, Iraq does have certain parallels. People going into a country they don't understand and trying to impose their own will. And then the tragic circumstances. I think what really resonates to people like yourself and that you know have no experience of the Vietnam War is that I suppose it could be set in the Second World War or the First World War. You know, it's back in time, and what you would perhaps take away from it or somebody of your generation is really the timeless story of two cultures meeting and the difficulties that ensue from that. And of course, there's also a little boy, the offspring of the two of them, of Chris and Kim, and what is going to happen to this little boy? How is he going to survive? And there was a whole situation where a lot of kids or children born from American soldiers and Vietnamese women were brought to the United States, and really, what happened to those kids?
You mentioned the engineer, and that's played by John Mann, right?
Yeah.
I've read that his role is, the role of the engineer at least, is as pivotal as the MC was in Cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about how he figures in the love story between Kim and Chris.
Well, in a sense, he's, I suppose, like a matchmaker. He brings them together. It is in his club in the opening scene that they meet. And he in a sense, is a bit like a pimp, and he's running a bit of a, I wouldn't say prostitutes necessarily, but certainly he has bar girls who go off with the American soldiers. And Kim is newly introduced to this. She comes from the country, I guess needs to get a job or something. It's never quite clear how she ends up at the club, but he takes her under his wing. The engineer takes her under his wing and really pairs her up with Chris, and so that's how this trio gets started. He is sort of the, as I say, the matchmaker, and then his main objective is he wants to get a visa because he wants to get to the States. He knows that his life in Vietnam after the Americans leave will be, of course, not very pleasant because he was working with the Americans, so he will probably be either killed or detained, which is exactly what happens. He does get detained when they leave. But so his whole energy is trying to get to the States, and he uses Kim. Once he finds out that she has a little kid by the American soldier, he uses her to try and make his escape, and that's certainly a strong part of the story.
And it's all a play on the America, seeking the American dream, right?
Absolutely.
Colorblind casting, that's something that was talked about when this production first came to Broadway back in the late 80s, early 90s, was it?
That's right.
Jonathan Pryce was criticized for Actors Equity did not want to cast him because he was not a so-called half-breed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Leah Salonga was the original Kim, and she was Filipino rather than Vietnamese. Talk to me about colorblind casting and how that, I mean, are we over the point now where you can cast anybody in any role?
Well, we did set out, certainly in the roles of Kim and the Vietnamese people who play such a strong part in the show, we certainly set out to give the Asian community, who don't or get a lot of opportunities, and even despite perhaps colorblind casting, they're not given the chance to be in productions, and we auditioned extensively here in Vancouver, and also of course put out the call right across the country. So a number of the cast members have come from Toronto and Winnipeg, but the bulk of the cast is from Vancouver. I suppose in the casting the role of the engineer, it is a pivotal role. And, in that we were extremely fortunate to have someone like John Mann interested in playing the role. We were very hard-pressed, the musical director Bruce Kellett and the choreographer Valerie Easton and myself were certainly hard-pressed to not, accept his incredible enthusiasm for the role. And I think when you see the show, you'll realize that whatever he is, and he is called a half-breed, is really irrelevant to the brilliance he brings to the role. We were certainly fortunate with Nena Lazo, who sent out, first of all, she sent out a CD, and we listened to her, and then she flew in at her own expense for the audition, and we were thrilled to cast her. And I'm very happy with the company. I think it's an incredible mixture of people of various backgrounds, because we needed tumblers and people that, have certain talents. There's a lion dance in the show, so, needless to say, we found two young men who had experience in that area. And the cast is one of the happiest groups I've worked with, so I'm quite thrilled with how it's turned out.
The 2005-2006 season at the Arts Club, that was recently announced, or about a month and a half ago. As an artistic director, what determines what gets produced? Is it something that you've seen on TV that you think will probably be interesting to stage, or do you have the cast in mind when you announce the schedule?
No, rarely do I have casting in mind, or even directors, although with certain specific shows, like we're doing a premiere of Mum's the Word, the women who wrote that and will be in it, of course, came with the project, and we're also premiering a new work by Anne Mortefi, so she certainly came with the project. But most of the plays that I look at are plays that I've read or heard about. It don't take too much from TV, but I look at, of course, plays from the canon, and we're doing Waiting for Godot, which premiered over 50 years ago, and also then musicals. I mean, I just have a knowledge of musicals and look at the ones that I think would fit into a season.
We're talking with Bill Miller, the Artistic Managing Director of the Arts Club Theatre Company and the director of their latest production, Miss Saigon, which opens in previews this Thursday, the 19th of May. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster. For more information, artsclub.com. When we talked in November, you mentioned that you had a great love of musicals, the Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals, and of course, My Fair Lady. How does Miss Saigon stand up with those more traditional Broadway musicals, since Miss Saigon came much later than those?
Well, there's two differences. One is that, of course, it's sung through. There is virtually no dialogue, which, most people would know from a traditional musical. And it has incredibly soaring melodies. And I think the other difference with the golden age of musicals is that it has a very contemporary feel. It's about something that, it's not like My Fair Lady is of course set in the Edwardian era. A lot of Rodgers and Hammerstein are set back in time. This has a real contemporary feel to it and a multicultural feel to it, which not a lot of musicals do. Having said that, I think it ranks right up there with those great book musicals in that it is a tremendous story. It is a love story. It's a tragic love story. It has some great roles, three or four terrific roles, which all the great musicals do. And it sort of combines some spectacle with a very intimate story, and in that way, I think it certainly does rank with some of those musicals.
You mentioned earlier about not being able to do this production, let's say 5 years ago, 4 years ago. Is it because it was on Broadway, or is it because it was a Cameron Mackintosh deal?
Well, it wasn't on Broadway, I don't think. Well, it might have been 5 years ago, but yes, it just wasn't available for a company like ours to produce it. It was still touring. In fact, I think it toured to Vancouver probably 3 or 4 years ago. They have what they call the first class tour, which comes through, which is basically the original production, replicated for a tour. And then they have the second and third class, the so-called bus and truck tours, which are, sometimes not very good copies of the original. But yes, that's why we wouldn't have been able to do it 5 years ago.
And I was reading about Cameron Mackintosh and his impact, for better or worse, on musical theater and Broadway. There's a certain commercialization and that aspect of it in his productions, the unnamed, the specific logos, and in this case, this was the show that was considered the show with a helicopter, right?
Yes.
So how is it producing something that has that impact, or that is well known in that sense, for, for local audiences?
Well, I'm you know, what has always you know, surprised me in a way is that people come to our productions or to you know, something in Vancouver that is being produced locally with fresh eyes. They're not expecting. First of all, it's been done in a much more intimate theater, 600 seats, versus if it toured at the Queen Elizabeth, it would be 3,000 seats. So they're coming for a different experience. They're not coming necessarily for spectacle, which clearly we can't do. We don't have the budgets. It's not a cast of 50 people. It's just not what we do. And so I find that our audiences come with open minds and judge it exactly what is put before them. And you know, we rise or fall on that. I some people, of course, will have seen the original production either in New York or on tour, or of course it played in Toronto as well, and hopefully they will be pleased with how first of all our performers. I mean, John Mann, I think, ranks right up there with you know, any Canadian performer, and certainly Jonathan Winsby and Nena Laszlo, two outstanding young performers. I think people will be, if not surprised, they will certainly be pleased.
One last thing, Bill, about the renaming of the Stanley. A lot of people talked about it, saying that it was cumbersome and it was too commercial. You said in the press release that the donation from the Industrial Lines Pacific Life Insurance Company of $1.5 million ensured our future. Was the future of the Stanley and or the Arts Club in danger?
Well, I would say certainly the future of the Arts Club at the Stanley was in danger. We had a $2 million mortgage, which, of course, is a debt. Anybody who has a mortgage on a house understands that. It meant that we were spending or having to pay out over $200,000 every year, which is a huge chunk out of your budget. And I would say it was somewhat crippling in that it was affecting what we were being able to produce at the Stanley, and there was certainly discussions at the board of directors level about, you know, was this a debt we could carry? And it was a debt left over from the original building campaign of the Stanley Theatre Society, and then it was a debt that, because the Arts Club is the principal tenant and eventually will own the building, had to assume. So it definitely was a threat, and you know, fortunately, Industrial Lines Pacific came along, and they've been a sponsor for a number of years, and I think they were an enlightened company that felt this was a way that they could assist us. I don't think in time people will find it cumbersome. They will get used to it. It's still the Stanley, you know, neon is going to be there. It's not going to be taken down. It's not like that name will ever cease. So people will know how to handle it. And those that support the Arts Club Theatre Company, of course, are used to a non-profit you know, organization having to seek out large donations just to make things, you know, work.
So this was just for the building. This was not to influence what productions you would put on or anything like that, was it?
That's absolutely right. It's just for the building.
Because I remember reading in the West Ender that someone said that perhaps with an insurance company, you'd probably be staging Willie Loman Lives or something like that.
No, they have no influence on what we put on stage.
Bill, thanks so much for joining us today. I enjoyed it, as usual.
Okay.
And break a leg on Thursday night.
Thank you very much.